Paul Scheer is a comedian, actor, writer, producer, director, and podcaster. His credits include Black Monday, Veep, FOTB, NTSF, SDSUV, and playing Andre in The League, a show whose cast and crew are getting together for a reunion this Friday at the ATX Television Festival. The podcast is called How Did This Get Made? On Saturday, Paul is doing a live recording with his co-host, fellow comedic actor and Paul's wife, June Diane Raphael, and Jason Manzoukas, who played Rafi on The League. You can get tickets for that at hdtgminfo.com and check out The League reunion info at atxfestival.com. Paul, thank you so much for the time. How you doing today?
Good. How you doing?
Doing very well. So, Paul, it was about a decade ago, maybe a little bit more than that, that I went to see a show during South by Southwest. It was a comedy show at a really small bar on 6th Street. The comedians were Aziz Ansari, Rob Hubel. I'm almost positive that Eugene Merman was there as well. And so were you. It was a wild scene. The crowd was packed to the gills in this bar. It was one of those scenes where it felt like people were literally hanging from the rafters watching you guys perform comedy. Do you remember this?
I do. As a matter of fact, one of the performers there was John Glazer, too, who is from the Adult Swim show Delocated and a few different other things. Yeah, we were doing our Human Giant tour at that point. We had just kind of premiered on MTV. I think we premiered on 2005, 2006. And we came by to South By, and it was one of the best experiences because Austin is just an amazing place. This kind of great intersection of music and comedy and also amazing food. But I remember that show and how crazy it was because you had to stay behind the stage. You couldn't get out into the crowd. It was so packed in there.
How exciting is it to get to come back to Austin, not only to participate in the reunion for The League, but also to unofficially kick off your podcast going national with a tour of live tapings across the country?
We're super excited. I've been to Austin now whenever I get a chance. We love performing there, and coming down to ATX is such a fun festival because they pull all these really great, interesting, cast back together. I didn't even realize it was a 10-year reunion of The League. And to come down with the majority of the cast, that's going to be a blast. We have a bunch of surprises there. Some of our original audition tapes, we're going to be playing some of those, which I think will be really fun to see. And I believe this is the second time we've done How Did This Get Made down in Austin. It's been one of the most fun towns to do the show. People are excited, and we were a little bit nervous because we were doing an afternoon show. And so far, the crowd that's coming out is really impressive. So thank you for that, Austin, for coming out for a 3 o'clock in the afternoon show.
Absolutely. It's crazy to think that this show, The League, that is, started a decade ago. Does it feel like 10 years since that show started and nearly four since things wrapped up?
You know, it's so crazy when I think about it. It all feels kind of like yesterday, like what you said just a second ago about that show 10 years ago. I remember it exactly. Like, I remember and a bit from that show verbatim that I watched. It was one of the funniest things ever. And so I think, you know, your whole career kind of becomes this, collage of images. But to think it was 10 years ago, it makes sense. I mean, we did the show for 7 seasons, so that kind of eats a big chunk of it. But yeah, it's been amazing to kind of to think that. I mean, it makes me feel old.
Paul, how did you get involved with the show? You know, how did you get asked to be the part of Andre? And was there any hesitation or skepticism for you to play that role? How did your role come about in that program?
Yeah, so The League was a show that was created by Jeff Schaefer and Jackie Schaefer. And Jeff worked on Seinfeld and Curb Your Enthusiasm and the Bruno and Borat movies. So he had a very strong base in improv, and they wanted to do a new improv show. So I'd met Jeff and Jackie a handful of times as they were working on this new idea. They couldn't tell me what it was, but they were looking for improv actors, and it seemed great. They were lovely, and we had a great time. And then I found out that the show was about fantasy football. Now, 10 years ago, you have to remember, fantasy football wasn't that big of a deal. It's become so much bigger now. But when I heard it was about fantasy football, I was like, oh, I can't do the show. I mean, there's no way I can improvise about fantasy football. I mean, I just know football, and so they asked me to audition, and I said no. I just didn't audition. And I remember I was in my old apartment, and Nick Kroll called me, and he said, you know, I think you should come in and audition for the show. You would do really good on the show, and it's not that much about fantasy football. I was like, really? He's like, yeah, come in. So they had already cast pretty much the entire show, except for my part. And I came in, and I met with Jeff and Jackie, and I improvised a scene that was actually in one of the episodes in the first season. And I got the show that way. Everybody else had to kind of go through a little bit more of a gauntlet. They were like, okay, you'll be Kevin, you'll be Pete. Okay, now you'll be Rafi, and you'll be Andre. Like, so everyone got to kind of cycle through. And I just kind of came in at the last second and was super lucky. And I'm so glad and thankful for Nick Kroll giving me that call.
It's crazy to think about how much talent was on this cast, but just because you get a bunch of talented people together, it doesn't always translate to success. Why did the group that Jeff and Jackie Schaefer and then Jeannie McCarthy amassed, why did you guys work so well together?
Well, first of all, excited that you brought up Jeannie McCarthy. Jeannie McCarthy is a casting director here in Hollywood, and she is one of the best comedy casting people out there. She knows so many people. And if you look at her resume, I mean, she's cast everything. I mean, so many great shows. She's got a great, just great taste. And I'd work with Jackie, I'd work with her on Human Giant. And I think what Jeff and Jackie were smart about was bringing people who were not from the same exact background. You know, I was from UCB. Nick Kroll was a stand-up who also did stuff at UCB, but he wasn't as in UCB as I was. He wasn't like on Herald teams, or if he was, you know, we were just a little bit slightly different, but very good friends. John Lajoie was a YouTube kind of celebrity who was a Canadian soap star. You know, Mark and Katie came off of this background of being like these mumblecore, you know, improvisers in film. And then Steve Ranazzisi had this background of just being like a funny stand-up with a very strong point of view. So you put us all together, and we all were kind of enjoying watching each other do what we do. I think Nick and I probably had the strongest bond as friends, and we understood like how we wanted to improvise. It was the first time I got into a show where everyone knew how to improvise, but just doing it slightly differently. So they all brought something different to the cast. And I think that was part of the secret sauce there. I mean, you know, who knows? You can't kind of question it. Sometimes it just works, and you're thankful that it does.
And one of the important reasons for your presence on the cast and also the Andre character, and I've read this numerous places now in preparing for the conversations that we're having with you and some of your castmates and Jeff and Jackie this week, is that when new people would come to the set, they were encouraged to get into the ball busting that was going on amongst the six main cast members on the show. And anybody who was uncomfortable with that, they would pretty much tell them to take some shots at Andre, and that would really help them to get more comfortable in general going forward, and would lead to a lot of great performances. And I've also read with just how impressed your fellow cast members were with your ability to take whatever criticism was being lobbed your way when the cameras were rolling and really turning it into something positive for yourself. Where did that come from for you?
You know, I think part of the fun of the show was that we had a lot of control over the characters. Jeff and Jackie were our architects and built us such a solid foundation, but then allowed each one of us to kind of bring our own kind of flourish to the piece. So, you know, whatever was on the page would be drastically different in the way that, you know, a guest star could interpret it or the way we would do it. So it wasn't as if we were trying to find the perfect person for the part, but allowing the person to kind of make the part their own, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's sort of, you know, so when you have somebody like Ike Barinholtz coming in, he just kills it, or Aziz Ansari comes in and kills it. You know, it's not how you always envision it, but it becomes so much more. Andrea Savage, just so funny. Like, the list goes on and on. I mean, Seth Rogen and even the way Jason Mantzoukas came in. I think that character of Rafi was not conceived in the same way that Jason played him. So for me, it was just great. Like, you know, to be the punching bag of the group, it gives you like this stealth position. You don't have to be cool. You're the low man on the totem pole. So you kind of you can kind of come in and you don't have to hit them out of the park as far as like insults. So it allowed me to do a lot more character work and a lot more kind of emotional connections to these characters. And I felt that actually helped me throughout the whole show. I was just able to, you know, put these people in weird positions because of my earnestness and, and my love for them. Because they knew how to, like, show their love through ball busting, but I was, like, showing it in a more earnest way out of the whole group. So it kind of gave me a little bit of a superpower there.
I'm sure you became more comfortable with that as the show progressed, but was there ever a moment or moments where you were like, you were thinking maybe drawing the line or this is too far, or I'm not comfortable saying this or being called this?
No. No, you know, to me, it's all a show. It's all a character. It's all, you know, it's like I'm not Andre. I have no worries about being Andre. So it's sort of my mind. I think, to me, what was always kind of important was keeping Andre, like, as a realistic character. You know, there were things where, you know, I felt very passionate about, we can't push it this far because then he becomes insane. And I think the closest to that line that we got was when Andre was talking about his, like, clear hair. You know, because it's like, okay, like, that's insane. It was something I improvised in a scene that Jeff and Jackie then were like, yeah, more of that clear hair. And they wrote a whole episode about clear hair. And it's super funny. It's one of the funniest episodes. But I remember thinking with Jeff and Jackie, like, how do we do this so it feels believable? Like, you know, because these characters have to exist week after week. And so that was the biggest trick for me. Like, you know, we always joke that Andre would go you know, insane and just start like, you know, killing all of his friends after all this abuse for 7 years, you know. But, you know, I think it was just sort of like finding these wins. And I think we found it when he was dating Megan, and, you know, we showed that he had, you know, he was only a loser to the friends. And that was, I think, a really smart move that Jeff and Jackie came up with. Like, he could never escape who he was as a high school student. But in real life, he's a great plastic surgeon. He, you know, is successful. He's wealthier than everybody else. And I think a lot of probably worse written shows would just make him a loser across the board. And I think by giving him, you know, a healthy ego, they were never going to give him that satisfaction or that validation. But he actually did have that from real life.
I like it. I like it. And, Paul, you mentioned some of the great cameos from some of the famous actors out there who were a part of the show. But another great part of the league was the fact that you guys were able to film with some NFL players at the time. Was there a favorite one or a couple of NFL players, guys that you really enjoyed working with?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the first guy who comes to my mind, J.J. Watt, just, you know, just a great, funny, lovely guy who, you know, I think we threw these football stars into a very complicated show. It wasn't just, can you come on our show? It was like, can you come on our show and then be funny and then improvise? And we're going to throw things out at you and you're not going to know them beforehand. And we had to really make them comfortable. And that, when you're talking about, you know, do I ever get nervous about, you know, did we go too far with Andre? Never with Andre, but we get nervous when you say stuff to these guys, you know, because all of a sudden you're in a hot tub with Antonio Gates, or, you know, most famously in the first season, especially the first season when no one knew who we were, you know, I threw an all white party and, like, Terrell Suggs comes to my all white party. Now, the way that I greet him is to be misconstrued as being racist. Like, it's an only white party. And you know, they didn't know that I was going to come at them in this way. Like, my character's not racist, but I was going to say all these things that if you didn't know it was about the clothes, it would seem like I was only having a party for white people. And they wanted to get his actual reaction to that. And so that was probably the most daunting thing, kind of, you know, jumping into these scenes with these football players. And we often just challenged their masculinity, or we were just like, throwing them into the mix. You know, I mean, we got to spend a whole week with, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting his name, Ocho Cinco. And, you know, that was another whole trip, you know, but these guys, they're amazing professionals. It's like when you watch a sports star host SNL, they kill it because they're ready for pressure. And we didn't have a single bad one in the bunch. you know, everybody came to play. I think the only one who probably didn't want to come to play was Jay Cutler. I think Kristen Cavallari had more of a hand in that one than he did. But besides that, but he was still very funny on the show.
God, that is classic Jay Cutler, too. Not surprising at all.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Talking to Paul Scheer right now, actor, comedian, writer, producer, director, and podcaster. His acting credits include Black Monday, Veep, Fresh Off the Boat, NTSF, SD, SUV, and, of course, playing Andre in The League, a show whose cast and crew are getting together for a reunion on Friday night at the ATX Television Festival. You can go to atxfestival.com for tickets to that. Or check out the podcast that he is a part of, How Did This Get Made? On Saturday, Paul is doing a live recording of that with his co-hosts, fellow comedic actor and Paul's wife, June Diane Raphael, and Jason Mantzoukas, who, of course, played Rafi on The League. You can get tickets for that at hdtgminfo.com. Now, Paul, you had mentioned the credentials for Jeff Schaefer, a guy who already had experience on Seinfeld and Curb, two of literally the funniest shows of all time on television. For you, as somebody who wears so many hats in the entertainment business, what did you learn from getting to work with Jeff?
You know, Jeff Schaefer is a brilliant mind and a really funny guy who, I think his secret ability is that he just is full of jokes. Like, he is in many ways one of the best writers I've ever worked with. But on top of that, he is so appreciative and so wanting of people to best his jokes. So he's giving you gold and he's like, nope, use yours instead. That's funnier. Like, he is one of those. So it's like a selfless genius, which is a very rare type of person. And I love working with him because he really enjoys what he does. Like, you look over at Jeff, I just was, you know, doing Curb this season, and he's always laughing. He's having a fun time watching it. And I think that idea of just enjoying your work, he still gets a kick out of it. He's not bitter by it, and he just wants it to kind of be the best it could possibly be.
Now, you mentioned your initial apprehension from joining the League cast had to do with you not being the biggest fantasy football fan. And I've read since then that you have become a bigger fan of fantasy football. Have you also found yourself in the last three NFL seasons of seeing storylines and being like, oh, man, we could have had so much fun mocking that, or the Andre character could have parroted
absolutely
something going on with the season? If so, is there an example that comes to your mind?
You know, there's a few. You know, we always are joking about it because when something comes up, I just send a text to Jeff and Jackie. They're like, oh, this. You know, a lot of the time it comes up in the wardrobe. You know, like when you see just certain players, I forget, someone was wearing a very wide-brimmed kind of Clint Eastwood and Fistful of Dollars kind of like sombrero fedora at a press conference. It's like, oh, my God, I need to get in there.
I'm just going to guess, you know, Cam Newton.
Yeah, I think it might have been Cam Newton. You're right. Yeah. So, yes, there's been many pictures of Cam Newton sent around about what we could do. You know, and then, you know, I think it's we're always looking at those, like, little fun stories and how they can kind of play out. I think, unfortunately, some of the stuff gets a little darker now. The NFL has been in an up and down thing, but obviously, I mean, I would love to have seen how we would have handled the kneeling situation, like how that would have played out on the show.
So it's funny because I asked Jeff and Jackie about that specifically, and it started out, and their ability to play off of one another is ridiculous, by the way, but that's a whole nother story. But it started out with Jackie being like, yeah, you know, that's the one thing that we talked about, wondering if that's a subject that we would have touched in real life. And then, of course, it turns to Jeff figuring out a way to actually make it happen to where it has less to do with football and more to do with the innuendo side of the show. And so it seems to me like that's one of those things that you guys would have figured out some way, shape, or form to be able to cover it.
Well, that was the best part about the show. We never kind of tackled football. We were never taking down, you know, like when Ray Rice punched, you know, his girlfriend in the elevator, you know, how do we deal with that? Well, we dealt with it by me getting attacked by my cat that I adopted in the street and there was only video footage from an elevator. You know, so we always were sidestepping it. It was sort of like, if you understood the reference, great, and if you didn't, fine, it still worked. You know, because I think oftentimes making light of something like that, like making light of physical abuse or, you know, this controversial, obviously, the kneeling, you know, it's like we don't want to make fun of those issues, but we wanted to have fun with those ideas in our world, you know. And I think, you know, I think Jeff is right. It's a sort of, you know, how we would have kind of brought in the kneeling. And I think that was the best part of the show, is we never were making a statement about football. We were, or the players. We were just kind of taking scenarios that existed in the pop culture of football and then kind of drawing stories around it. Like, for example, one of the episodes I wrote, it was about, like, Taco getting CTE from having too much sex. You know, he was like, he had banged his head on so many headboards and walls throughout his sexual escapades that he had CTE now, and he was going to retire from sex. And, you know, so that's kind of the way that we would kind of deal with things, you know. Not to say that's the classiest way to deal with, again, a very serious issue, but we would kind of have fun with it.
That's awesome. All right, Paul, the least original pun in the history of puns, but your podcast, How Did This Get Made? How did that get made?
You know, very simply, you know, I think we all are fans of bad movies. I mean, no matter who you are, when you look at the audience of our podcast, you're amazed at, like, old, young, everyone knows that feeling of putting on basic cable in the middle of the night, like, wait, what is this? Or going to the theater, you think this movie is going to be good, and you're just like, no, what are they thinking? And that's what the podcast came to be. It was June and I had seen this movie, Wall Street 2, Money Never Sleeps, the sequel to Wall Street. It was terrible. We bumped into Jason at a party, and we started telling him about this movie. He's laughing, asking us questions. And as we're talking to him, he goes, that's a podcast. And, you know, Jason, you know, had the same enthusiasm that we had about it. And we're like, well, let's do it together. And that's how we did it. And we did it such a long time ago. It was before everyone had podcasts. It was honestly at a time when no one knew what podcasts were. You had to tell people to download a podcast app for your phone. So we're talking to, you know, the dark ages. So it wasn't even like a sexy thing, like, let's get a podcast. Like, now everyone and their brother has a podcast. So we started, and it's really the camaraderie that we have as a unit, the three of us, Jason, June, and I, and our love and our appreciation for these movies that could have gone better. Because as actors and writers and directors and producers, whatever we are, we all know that you go in to making something with the best of intentions, but sometimes it just does not come out great. You know, whether that's having a weird creature you think is going to be a lovable character like Big Bird, but it comes out as a character called, like, Gooby, or, you know, or you make a movie that's kind of a thriller about a guy whose wife is transferred into his daughter's body, and he wants to have sex with his daughter, but it's his daughter's body, but his wife's mind, you know, or it's all these bizarre things that we kind of thought was so fun. And so we keep on finding great ones, and we're excited to kind of come out and do a live show, because what one of the fun things about the live show is, it's completely different in a way than our recorded show. It's longer. We cut out about 15-20 minutes of every one of our live shows, and I'm always amazed at the costumes that people wear to the theater of the characters from the movie. So we've had people come dressed as Pavarotti when we did the Pavarotti musical. We've had people dressed as Blues Brothers, and we've had people dressed as, like, the evil BMX bikers from Rad. It's the most fun to kind of get in and have fun with this big audience.
I'm glad you mentioned one of the episodes that you guys had, and I'm forgetting the name of the movie, but it starred David Duchovny. It was you, Jason, Topher
yeah.
Grace, and somebody else. That was a hilarious episode of that podcast, and there are a couple of reasons why I really dig the podcast. One is it has that sort of Mystery Science Theater feel about it, albeit in podcast form, mocking Truly Bad Cinema. But two, it's a podcast with some pretty decent production elements, considering that podcasting for as popular as it's becoming, it tends to lack such polish. Who's responsible for that? Is that on you? And if so, is that something that's a product of your time spent at UCB?
Well, you know, for us, it's always about refining. I think the podcast has gotten better as we've gone on. You know, I think every podcast gets better as it goes on. Part of that, I think, is just having a really nice studio space and having really good microphones and having an engineer. You know, we are part of the Earwolf Network, and the Earwolf Network does a bunch of shows that you might be familiar with. But so we have a nice studio, and then we are lucky to have really great producers. You know, I don't do this show by myself. I take a brunt of the work. But, you know, I'm working with people to find the right movies, and I'm working with a producer. And then, you know, one of the things I've been going and doing a lot lately has been going back and just cutting out some stuff, you know, just like kind of leaving some more stuff on the cutting room floor. And I feel like a lot of podcasts now, it's like hit record, hit stop, release. And so right now I've been trying to kind of find these elements. And that's something I learned actually from doing my other podcast, Unspooled, where we talk about good movies. I just found myself kind of getting in the nitty gritty of that. And I was like, oh, why am I not doing that? Proud to get made. And I think it's kind of in the last, you know, 10 or so episodes, we've just kind of done some different stuff there. So that's what we're always trying to make it better and stronger and, you know, more entertaining.
Very cool. And for people who are considering heading to the Moody Theater on Saturday to check out you and June and Jason and special guests doing the live version of How Did This Get Made, what can they expect?
Look, they can expect to be a part of the show. That's the best part about it. If you're a fan of the show, this is a chance for you to be on the show in a couple of different ways. We do a part of the show called Second Opinions. That's where we read five-star reviews from Amazon. And often when people come to the live shows, they have created their own Second Opinion theme song. Some are massive. We've had full opera groups. We've had bands. We've had just a cappella singers. They've all written their own songs and performed them on stage. And when we have a big venue like the Moody, we definitely get a handful of people up there to kind of show their best singing abilities. And then, you know, a large portion of the show is devoted to going into the crowd and talking with them. What are we not talking about? What's something they saw? And it's amazing because the people who come to the show, they do their research. I mean, they are doing deep dives. Some people have done interviews. Some people have worked on the film. You know, we get a lot of great information. And like I mentioned earlier, people are coming in costume. People are bringing signs. People bring us gifts. It's weird. It's a different experience. And there's a little bit of a pre-show that we love. And it's just I think it's a unique experience. We really try to make it special. So yes, you're getting what you want, which is a taping of the podcast, but we're also giving you a little bit more than anyone will get. Like I said, as we cut out certain parts too. And just so people know, if they're going to come, the movie we were doing on Saturday is Serenity, which is the Matthew McConaughey. We got to keep it. We got to keep that Texas alive. The Matthew McConaughey Anne Hathaway movie, which has been universally called the worst movie of this year, 2019. So I don't know much about it, besides it's insane, and I'm very excited to watch it in preparation for Saturday.
All right. Well, he is Paul Scheer, actor, comedian, writer, producer, director, and podcaster. The acting credits include Black Monday, Veep, Fresh Off the Boat, NTSF, SD, SUV, and of course, playing Andre in The League, a show whose cast and crew are getting together for a reunion this Friday night at the ATX Television Festival. Please go to atxfestival.com for tickets and more info. The podcast is called How Did This Get Made? On Saturday, Paul is doing a live recording of that with his co-hosts, fellow comedic actor and Paul's wife, June Diane Raphael, as well as Jason Mantzoukas, who plays Rafi on The League. You can get tickets for that at hdtgminfo.com. Paul, thank you so much for the time today, man. This is a real pleasure.
Thank you so much. And you know, I'll say one more thing, and you never know, there might be a special guest from The League at our How Did This Get Made show on Saturday.